Hey, everybody, it's Matthew Clark here. You're listening to The Podcastle. Before we get into tonight's show, I just wanted to say a few words. This is unscripted, so just bear with me. About a good friend of mine, Anthony Quartz, who unfortunately lost his life this week to the devastating, shitty-ass thing that we call cancer. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to him. You know, I really love this guy. I've known Anthony since I was I guess junior high, and I've never known a tougher person in my life. You know, we'd party every weekend at the barn with Crew, which is our solid group of guys that we grew up with, to the Crew Show podcast, which we did, and he just always had the best stories. I felt like he could fix anything. And he just was larger than life. He just had such a great heart, was always friendly. You know, there were a few years I lost touch with him. Just, you know, as life goes sometimes. And he just called me one day out of the blue. And, you know, we just reconnected and talked for hours without skipping a beat, right where we left off. And I just wanted to have a chance to say goodbye. And if you didn't know him, or you did know him, you'll know that he was just incredible. He was such a light in the room, and he was fearless. So I just wanted to say, Anthony Quartz, I love you, and I miss you, brother. Thank you. Whenever I get the hankering for a cheesesteak or a hoagie, I think of Nat's Pizza. I will visit them in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, a staple in the community since 1976, and their food is always consistently delicious. Whether you have a hankering for a hoagie, a cheesesteak, chicken cheesesteak, whatever you may call it, whatever you want, they have it. They're located in the heart of historic Doylestown, and it's been a family favorite and fixture in the borough ever since. Stop in today to sample some of their authentic Italian cuisine, from award-winning pizza and cheesesteaks to world-class wings, delicious lasagna, and scrumptious Via Veneto Italian ice. Check them out online at natspizzadoylestown.com today. Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
And Happy New Year. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. 2024 is going good so far. How about yours?
It's going good as well.
It's happening.
It's happening. We all have that Christmas hangover feeling where you're, you know, everything's, there's so much going on all at once, and then it just stops.
Then I had to go back to work.
It's a bitter yeah. Pain. Are you one of those folks that take more time off than others, or are you back like right on January 2nd?
We're back right away. So our programs start the next day. So we don't, we're not like that. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I feel like after the third, if you're still on vacation, that's like the holidays are over, pal. Let's go.
Yeah. It's done.
You're listening to the podcast Set Jetter Saturdays with Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com. Great show tonight. We're going to kick it off with what you've been watching. And Robert, you have some gems in here, and I want to, hear what's new with you.
Well, you know, during the holidays, they have those deals and stuff like that. And I just buy stuff I don't need. So one of those was like Caddyshack, you know, for like a $5.99 Blu-ray. I'm like, OK, I'll watch that. So have you watched that or lately, or
probably in the last 2 years, I'd say I've watched it.
So and I can't remember why. So I thought, oh, you know, I'll see if it kind of, and I always forget. I don't know why, that it's supposed to take place in Nebraska, even though
it's in Florida, right?
Well, they shoot Florida and L.A., mostly Florida, but they shot in Florida, L.A. And obviously, like, there's a yacht scene. Like, there's none of that. You know, they're off the ocean here. You know, I was like, why do they keep pretending this is Nebraska? And Nebraska comes up a couple times.
That's right.
Just like a random thing, you know. So I thought, oh, that's kind of strange. So, but yeah, and there's some stuff like, oof, can't get away with that anymore.
No, certainly not.
Or a lot of it, but Ted Knight's still great. But then just today, Cindy Morgan passed away. So she's known for her role in that and Tron, of course.
Tron, right.
Yeah. So 69, way too young.
But, oh, wow. That is way too young.
But
Tron and Caddyshack. And she was, who was she in Caddyshack? She was.
She was kind of the blonde girl from New York that everybody wanted. You know, she jumped into the pool and everybody was watching her and so forth. So. But I watched a lot of behind the scenes. I think this came out for the 30th anniversary, so it's kind of they kind of ported over that. So it was interesting to kind of see how it kind of morphed. It was really supposed to be about the kid and what it's like being a caddy, and of course now he's a minor character. You can't compete with
Chevy Chase
and Bill Murray and all those people.
Rodney Dangerfield. You put those guys on a set. And
there's still spots I just laugh out loud, but.
I know.
Every few years, it's worth a watch. So, but, and then I was really excited. So, Kino Lorber released Daryl. Daryl, or do you know what Daryl stands for?
It's something to do with a robot. I know that.
Data analyzing robotic youth life form. So, I think it was an 85 or 86 film. So, it was. I was kind of
it's too Barrett Oliver,
at the time. Yeah. So he's great in it. And so they just finally released that on Blu-ray with a pretty good special edition. It looks great, and they have some good extras. And Barrett Oliver, really, now you wouldn't even recognize him, but I was like, oh, I wish he'd do the Hollywood show. So I'm just kind of throwing that out there into the universe too. If you're listening. Yeah,
he should be doing it, Barrett. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah. So
especially Robert.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's one of my favorite
movies. Gotta rewatch that.
So yeah. See what you think. I think it still holds up pretty well. So
okay.
Has a good soundtrack. Also on my Kino Lorber package, Death Wish 2.
Nice.
Had to get the latest special edition. I feel like this is kind of an Evil Dead where I think this is like probably my fifth purchase of this Blu-ray or DVD and some
of form. Death Wish 2?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they keep releasing new special editions. I'm like, well, now I have to have that one. So
yeah, I know.
So I'm going to, and I've been to a couple of the locations, maybe probably 15 years ago, but I'm like, oh, maybe I should do a proper one. But now some of these, you know, like when we're talking about like a couple weeks ago, Police Academy 2, I'm like, I'm not doing these downtown locations. Maybe I'll give you a Google Street shot.
I'm not doing them.
I'm not getting out of the car for that. But,
no way. Yeah. Maybe send a drone in there.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't know if I'd even do that. But anyway, Death Wish 2 is still.
You get a shot.
Overly graphic and violent for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? It's been such a long time since I've seen those movies, but I'd imagine they're still very graphic.
They are. I mean, if it's Death Wish 2 is really, it's the rape scene that it's just like unnecessarily drawn out and
everywhere
and watch, you know, so it's like, you know, we don't.
At least it's not the next Friday's almost rape scene.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. So we know what happened, you know, so we don't, you know, we know they're the bad guys, you know, but 80s kind of seem like no holds barred. So also going to the bottom of the barrel. I shouldn't say that, but so I bought the Angel trilogy, even though there's a fourth one. So Angel,
we talked about this, it's Avenging amazing.
Angel and Angel 3. So Kino Lorber has special editions that they did for all three that were had a good sale. So
the final chapter.
Yeah. So Angel, the first one is actually it's a solid movie. It is 80s grunge, kind of dirty, you know, but it has a reason. It has a heart, and it's not all for exploitation, you know. I mean, that's
right
kind of what it is too, but yeah, so it's that one probably still holds up as a watchable, and you know, kind of has at least a character arc. And then Angel 2, so Betsy Russell, from now known for the Saw movies, played Angel in college, just graduating.
And she was a woman of the night, right?
Well, now, but she, and by Angel 2, she had cleaned up, you know, she had left the streets, and then she graduated college, but now, you know, I can't remember. She has a reason to go back to the streets, Katia, because, you know.
She has a reason to go back to the, as you do after college sometimes.
Yeah. And it's because, you know, the police officer that helped her was killed and stuff like that. So, and Barry Pearl from Grease is in it. And so it's just.
Wow.
He plays Glitter Man. So anytime you see him, it's kind of, yeah. And so it's kind of a strange.
Oh, I got to see this.
Even though it's like a year later. It is kind of a glossed version of, you know, it's you can already tell.
You can tell that there's more like money in the budget.
Either money in the budget or just, you know, things had even by from 84 to 85, things have just kind of spruced up, you know, and they actually have decent lighting and film stock, but it's also tamer, you know, for lack of a better word, you know.
Okay. Yeah, right. It's not as not as salacious.
Then, Angel 3, the final chapter, takes place a few years later, and now she's in New York, and then she finds out she had a sister who's involved in this sex ring back in LA, so she has to go back to LA and so forth. Yeah, it's verging on Lifetime movie. It's not as salacious as it sounds.
No, right. You mentioned this before too. Yeah. It's not. Don't worry.
Maude Adams isn't, you know, it's just kind of like straight, you know, it's like, but you know me, I'm like, well, I need to do all these locations.
You have to now.
So yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's why I bought the trilogy, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I also finally bought the Criterion Collection of Defending Your Life.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome movie. Before you had mentioned the HBO little documentary about, so that's kind of what spurred me to buy the Criterion Collection. Criterion's always more, but you know, we talked about last episode, you need to buy that physical media because it'll be gone.
You do. And sidebar, somebody else posted a video on YouTube about the same thing, physical media, referencing that JoeBlow.com article. And I was like, we literally just did a video on this.
We just said, get it while you can.
The Criterion Collection has bonuses and stuff in there?
Yeah. So they got some great interviews. I think, I can't remember if there's a commentary or not, but it's been a couple of weeks since I've watched it already. But so it is worth it. And of course, I would start. I had been to a few locations before, so I'll try to do a proper one. To kind of see what's left as well. So
that is a great movie.
But I had not realized in one of the interviews he was talking about how he cast it, and he happened to be at a party that Carrie Fisher was at and Meryl Streep, which I assume is probably related to Postcards from the Edge.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking to Meryl about this movie, and she asked if there's a part in it for her, which I think I've heard Meryl say that before. Where she's just like, is there something for me? Like, she's like, she's looking for work. You know?
It twirled up.
Yeah. But that's still a classic line. Every time.
Postcards from that, and when he's hanging from the building, and she's like, it didn't. I didn't lift my skirt. It twirled up. Oh, that's a gem. Yeah. Hey, don't you think Postcards from the Edge is a underrated movie?
Here's the thing. I had some issue because I loved the book for years, and then when the movie kind of felt like a sanitized version of that, you know, like it was a little too. But Shirley MacLaine is perfectly class. I'm not quite sure. Meryl is not Carrie Fisher to me.
No.
You know,
I agree.
So
with that,
she didn't quite have that. I could hear Carrie's words coming out of. It didn't seem true coming out of Meryl's mouth, and it kind of made me wonder because Annette Bening has, I think it's just a one scene role in that movie, and I was like, she kind of has a little bit more kind of acerbic personality that I think would be interesting to see.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I used to Carrie Fisher's books that used to just have me rolling. But anyway, Defending Your Life.
So cool.
Check it out.
Yeah, I know I want to.
The Sting, I also watched. It just had its 50th anniversary, so I thought, I better. And I'd been to a few locations decades ago, so.
Oh, cool. It's like,
well, let me hurry up, quick, do a page in time for the anniversary, and then give it a rewatch. So, have you rewatched it lately? Mm-hmm. Or?
Yeah, I own The Sting.
Do you?
I like it very much.
So I got
I know the movie.
So about the 4K, you know, let's upgrade and see what it kind of looks like. So it still holds up pretty well. It was obviously a post Ocean's 11, but pre new Ocean's 11.
Yeah, good call.
Kind of has kind of some of the kind of same beats and stuff like that. But great cast. It clips along pretty well. And it's just like, and I was thinking Ocean's 11 kind of remake, because how often do you get, when you have Paul Newman and Robert Redford, and you know,
it's like, cinematic gold at its best.
How hard can that be to make a good movie? So.
No, truly. Oh, 100%. Yeah. You bought the 4K of this?
I bought the 4K. Yeah. For some reason, I was just spending money away.
I love it. No, you're the set jetter.
And then I just watched Icons Unearthed Star Wars. So
what is that, kind Robert?
Of a, it's like a 6-part series, and I don't know if I had watched it before or if it's new. It somehow just showed up on my algorithm of, you know, like something. And so I was like, I don't know if I watched this, but it's on Amazon Prime is where I watch it. So I would check it out.
I will watch it. There's a James Bond one too.
And it seemed to be pretty good. And they also, they don't, there's a couple of people they just were not kind to, you know, so they weren't really, it wasn't a glossed over version on, you know, were at some points they weren't kind to George Lucas, Marsha Lucas in particular.
I can see that.
But she's just being honest, you know. Anthony Daniels is not quite a kind person, but he was very not kind to Richard Marquand, who directed Return of the Jedi. So
just kind not of kind like, to his process?
At all. Just like, oof. You know, like maybe he's dead, so let's maybe let...
I think so.
Let it go, you know.
Show a little respect.
Yeah. But Anthony Daniels has always kind of been a... he still did well for himself, so really, he should not be complaining too much, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to check it out on Amazon Prime.
And I'll have more because I bought a stack of stuff as well. So stay tuned for future.
Please. I love when you, every time Robert buys a new movie and Angel gets her wings, it's like the set jet are doing it. Yeah. Well, you watch these great movies like Caddyshack, Defending Your Life, The Sting. You rewatch Barbie.
Angel. Yeah. So
I watched The Langoliers on YouTube.
Oof.
Yeah. Yep.
The best special effects money can buy.
You really can't top it. Hey, have you seen The Langoliers recently? You only need to see it once.
Not recently, no.
The special effects we know are terrible, but the acting for such great actors like David Morse and even the guy Bronson Pinchon. What's his name?
Pinchon?
He was not a bad actor at all. It's unwatchable how bad the acting is. It's so static and like it's like a pornographic movie acting. It's just, where's Aunt Vicky? Your wife died. Oh no, I'm sorry. Let's get you on the airplane. And then he literally goes like this. I'm like, guys, like David Morse is a good actor. He could have brought something more to the table.
It should have been better than it was.
Something.
It's flat looking, and that could have been intentional, obviously. But it's just, there's nothing, it's like a lot of Stephen King where, you know, it starts off with a great punch and a premise. And by the time you get to the end, I'm like, we don't care. And rewatchability, you know, you're kind of like, oh, let me give this probably wasn't too bad. And you know, that first third, you're like, okay, oh yeah, how interesting. What are they going to do with it? And then next thing you know, you got dancing in Vegas, you know?
The only reason I watch that is I'm re-listening to the audio of it's from 4 Past Midnight, the Stephen King, as a companion piece, obviously. So I was like, I haven't watched this in years. I'll watch it. But three quick things that in the short story that I thought were really cool was that it invoked the Odyssey of Flight 33, the Twilight Zone episode, where you're thinking, oh, he probably like got the idea from this. And then he mentions it in the story. And then another one was he did that with, there's a Star Trek reference and also a reference about, I forget what it was, but it was something like that was very generic that you're like, oh, it's kind of hacky writing. He acknowledged it right out of the bat and was like, no, it's none of these things, but I understand why you would think that. So it was kind of cool that King like kind of broke the fourth wall a little bit in the writing and was like, okay, I get it, but I'm Stephen King. It's very original.
Still going to do it.
I'm still going to do it, which was great. I watched Saving Private Ryan, which we spoke of before. Beverly Hills Cop, which is still pretty good. You know, I still like that movie.
Well,
it's been a while.
Good. I did have an impulse buy. Had a little too much Diet Coke tonight, and I bought pre-ordered the 3-disc 4K.
Yes.
Probably more, so I can see Beverly Hills Cop 3 in 4K. Yeah.
You have to
get that George Lucas cameo in.
I spoke to somebody that didn't know there was a fourth one coming out.
Oh, and I said, well, let me tell you.
Yeah, he said there is. He goes, "Oh, was it a? Is it like a joke trailer?" I was like, "No, no, it's the real thing." And they were like, "Yeah, I think they're trying to make up for 3." I'm like, "3 is fantastic. You bite your tongue.
It's so good."
3. They filmed that, Robert Ware. What's the theme park?
I don't even know where they actually filmed it. So
Santa Ana.
Was that where? Okay.
But it's a theme park that's not like famous. It's not like Six Flags or something. It's
oh yeah.
But how were they like in 4K?
It's pre-order, so I don't have them yet.
Oh, so I'm so glad you got them.
It'll be quite a weekend for that. So
don't worry, it comes out in 6 months, Robert. So get ready.
Yep, I just looked it up. So now it's called Paramount's Great America Amusement Park in Santa Clara, California. So
oh, Santa Clara, San Fran.
Yeah, I wonder what's left. I'm sure somebody has done those filming locations. I don't know.
You got to hit it up. Do you ever plan on doing San Francisco again?
I probably at some point, but
I mean, you'll go to the city, of course. It's like a beautiful place. You're not a San Francisco guy.
I'm not a San Francisco. I've tried to like it, but yeah, I've not really been a fan. So
it's the hills, right?
No, I don't know. There's just something, you know, some cities have like a weird cloud over it. I'm like, nah, it's not quite for me.
Oh, no, that cloud is fentanyl and meth smoke.
And oh, is that what that is?
That colors homelessness. No.
Well, you know, I do remember last time because I did stay for, last time I was there, well, it's been a couple times, but I remember one time I did stay downtown for a couple of days. It was cool. Ooh. Even when it got to be, you know, back then, I was like, nope.
Nope.
It reminded me a little bit sometimes, even DC. One block fine, one block not, you know, and just like.
Yeah.
Don't bring your $600 camera, you know.
No, don't. Please do. $600 camera. I don't even bring my $200 camera. I'm like, no. Don't
bring your phone out, but.
Don't. But I'd be interested in seeing those locations if you ever do it.
Okay.
Barbie, I finally watched. I enjoyed it very much. I liked it. Yeah, good. I thought it was fun. I didn't take it too seriously, and it paid off.
I did a rewatch, but interestingly, HBO Max has, you can choose it with commentary by Greta Gerwig, which is not on the Blu-ray. For some reason, this is, I don't know if it's an HBO only thing, but yeah, commentary, I mean, there's no commentary on the Blu-ray, so I was kind of curious. So I would recommend, if you wanted to give it a second watch, listening to Greta talk. So I'm kind of like, it's kind of like been lukewarm on some of her stuff. But I thought she was, it was an interesting take. And I was kind of surprised about how many, sometimes you get these very serious filmmakers, you know, and they talk about their inspirations and so forth. The kind of amount of pop culture stuff that she references, I was kind of surprised, you know, it wasn't
in the commentary.
Yeah. I wasn't referencing, you know, like the 1940, you know, classic such and such, you know, whatever she'd be like, you know, oh, the breakfast, this is totally a nod to the Breakfast Club or whatever happens to be, you know, so.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, okay, she's a little bit more down to earth than I had initially taken for her. But anyway, so I'd recommend that. And then I know there was kind of a there's also a version on HBO that is ASL for American Sign Language that they're encouraging people to watch that version to get the numbers up because they want HBO and more streaming services to add that as a
an option.
Yeah, as an option. And
yeah,
and,
they should.
Yeah. So I will probably do that as well. So I actually own it on Blu-ray.
Oh, that's so cool.
So
does the Blu-ray have, aside from like trailer and stuff like that, do they have anything else?
They have some featurettes and interviews, but no commentary. And so that's why I was kind of surprised that the commentary exists. Well, originally this Blu-ray
probably
was
just shot it recently.
I don't think it was originally going to be slated to come out until February, but I think because it did so well, whatever, they wanted to get it out in time for, you know, the holidays. And so, well, there'll probably be a super glam Barbie special edition at some point that
I love the opening too in Barbie World, the mockery. Oh, yeah. And hey Ken, I'm gonna get the wave. It's perfect. You know, do you ever think about dying? What? Dying to hear this song again or whatever she says.
Yeah.
Yeah, so great.
Margot Robbie, yeah, she kind of hit all the right notes. Ryan Gosling, sometimes, most of the time.
I agree, yeah.
And Will Ferrell, sometimes it went a little too...
Yeah, he didn't need to be there, I thought.
Yeah, we could have done a more serious... I would have loved a Stanley Tucci instead.
Ooh, good casting choice.
In that, yeah. Because if you fill it too much with comedians... We kind of need kind of, you know, I'd rather see a serious person being funny than...
Right. It gets too crowded.
A funny person trying to be funny. Yep.
Yeah. There's a bad balance.
But I agree. But yeah. So it still holds up for me. I know. And it's probably... It has its certain amount of backlash probably because like now it's been overhyped. But, you know, yeah. Good for them. You know, one, we should be happy that a woman-directed film is over $1 billion. So congrats. Right.
We should be happy. Yeah. Yeah. Well deserved. Congratulations. And that is definitely a keeper, Barbie. It's fantastic.
That and the Langoliers. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that same old Hollywood comparison. They go hand in hand. You know, it's like Corky Romano and The Revenant. It's the same. And I watched Die Hard with a Vengeance. I gave a rewatch again. My favorite character is still the truck driver that's like, Chester A. Arthur, do you know that he was ported right here in New York? No, I didn't know that. Okay, take it easy. He just happens to have all this knowledge.
So what that brought, that's like a summer movie. A hot summer movie.
It is a summer movie. Yeah. I went to Hulu, and I was looking for something to watch, and that came up as something I didn't finish. So gotcha. The OCD, I have to finish everything I start, even if it's like a year old at some point. So
even
I was like, I'm just going to knock this out. And there it is. There it is. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't. Once in a while, if it's like awful, I will just delete it. But I'm like, I'm going to commit to it, finish it, watch it. So it was there. And it's okay. You know, it's fun. It's better than some of the other action movies that came out in 96, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing it in the theater.
You did, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you've been watching. Before we jump into another segment, I had a set jetting question for you. I want to know if you remember the first location you've ever done that doesn't include incidental ones like Niagara Falls as a kid. Yeah. Do you remember what your very first, like, you know, out there to do it?
On purpose?
On purpose.
Let me think. So
it's a tough one, right?
It is tough because let's say the first time I went to L.A. was 1985. And so, you know. One, you'd go to Universal Studios and so you'd see these locations. And we went on a Hollywood tour, which brought us to, you know, locations like 9 to 5 or whatever. But you're right. I didn't say we have to go to such and such. So let me try. I'm trying to think. It's like really kind of on purpose. And like in 88, when I was there for USALA, I happened upon the Dream Warriors location. So wasn't really on purpose. I'd probably say that. Now 22 years ago, when we went to LA to go to the Rose Bowl, my family, and then we stayed in West Hollywood. We stayed at the, now I can't remember what the hotel's called, but it was in Beverly Hills 90210. I remember. I was like, oh, this is the 90210.
Oh, cool.
Hotel where, Brenda kissed Dylan in the rooftop pool. I remember I was up on the roof. I'm like, oh, I think this is the pool where
you stayed at a nice one. Was it the like Beverly Wilshire Hotel or something?
I can't remember what it's called. And the Viper Room is right kind of catty corner.
The London.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called now. It wasn't called that at the time. I remember,
Or Sunset Tower maybe.
Yeah, it wasn't Sunset Tower, but anyway.
Maybe the London then. That has a pool on the roof for sure. Yeah.
So I remember that, and I remember like, we're in the Viper Room, and then because it was West Hollywood, we were just, you know, hop, skip, and jump from the Halloween houses and Nightmare on Elm Street. So that was my trek. My dad and I went to go visit those, and that was sacred ground. You know, I just kind of remember getting that weird, eerie feeling, like here I am after all these years, and at that time. The Elm Street house. Well, so we'll start for Halloween. The Duell house where Jamie Lee babysat kind of pretty much looks the same. And then the Lindsay Wallace house was mid-construction because they were just starting to pull that house, not completely apart, but add a garage over where the driveway was and kind of add onto the house. So that
segmenting
was still construction.
Yeah.
So, and then Elm Street was still the original Elm Street house. And it was not looking good. You know, the roof was looked like it was falling off, and you know, but it was everything was original. So.
Was it an abandoned set?
No, it was just kind of it's a house. They just didn't really.
Or a house, I mean, like was there somebody living in there?
Yeah, there's somebody living there. Yeah, because there's a big Christmas tree on the front porch, and I remember so. And then I had a friend in LA too, and he picked me up that night. We went to dinner at was it Carney's? is that what's called the railroad? That
I love that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was telling him about these houses, like, well, let's go check it out. So I got to see the Halloween and Elm Street houses at night. And so that was pretty
special. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's a good pilgrimage, too, for your
probably,
like your first.
Yeah. Probably my first very intentional going to these houses.
Oh, that is so cool. I was just curious about that, you know, because I know you've done a bunch, and I wasn't sure if it was the chicken before the egg. Where you were like, oh, I already have these. I'm just going to create a page. Or you were like, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah. So those, I think, from what I know, that's my first put on a map, let's go, versus like, oh, I happen to be here.
That's pretty cool. How many pots do you have going right now of like locations you haven't done yet?
There's a huge list. There's really? Always a huge list. Yeah. Because like every time I'm like, all right, now I feel like, okay, I want to do the Angel series and I want to do this. And I'm about to start It's a Wonderful Knife, which looks like it's shot in Vancouver. So I'll just keep adding to the list. But yeah, at some point I was like, do I let other people just do their thing? You know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. So if you have like a wiki going where if you watch a movie and see a location, you'll like at least write it down somewhere.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I try not to, cause like literally it's hard. I mean, it'll take me six times as long to watch a movie because I'm like, stop. And I'm like, okay, where's this? You know?
Yeah. Right.
You know, which I
would think
so. So obviously, Defending Your Life and Death Wish 2 and Caddyshack, even for the LA locations, the Angel series, even Avenging Angel. I can do all these, but yeah, but obviously I'm going to be hitting Vancouver in next month, so I need to get myself ready for those locations.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
Vancouver. What's like the big location you're going to tackle?
There's a lot I just didn't do last time, and so of course, if I can, I'll try to do Stand 2.0.
Thank God.
There's a couple Jason Takes Manhattan locations that I've not been to.
The Dyna?
I don't know if that doesn't really exist.
Welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York. I've been to the other side of it. Yeah. So The Stand and some Yellow Jackets. Yeah. So
there's Yellow Jackets.
I didn't do. So I'll try to kind of squeeze it all in, but I'll see what I can do for The Stand. The Q.
Thank God we need it. The 2.0. Been teetering on watching it again, but I'm like, I can't. I really can't do it again.
Please don't for the sake of it.
Do you believe in heaven? Nope. Okay, next we have a segment called Guess the Movie by the Tagline.
Oh, no. I always fail miserably. All right.
Oh, you didn't write this?
No.
Oh, well, then I didn't either.
Oh,
maybe
I did.
Maybe I tagged it from another show.
Oh, you probably
canceled.
Did. Okay, so yeah, I was like, all right.
I did questions. I do have a blind man's bluff.
Oh, do you? No, I didn't. No, that probably is pretty tough there. Sorry. I was like, you tell me. You're like,
You tell me. Speaking of taglines, though, I spent a lot of time on IMDb, and I try to look at the taglines if I can. And you can always tell the lazy ones from the good ones. Like, the good ones, there would be like seven of them, and you're like, oh, it's either a great movie or terrible. But then like older movies, like you said, I saw Chevy Chase Goes Across America or something, and you're like, but he's Clark Griswold in The Vacation.
You know? Here's the entire movie, and then she kills them all and lives happily. They're like, All right,
thank you. That's the whole thing.
She will be the only survivor. I'm like, okay.
I got to put that down for another show, is trailers that like gave away everything in the movie, Castaway did. Oh, so he does get off the island. Okay. Yeah. So he's okay then.
Well, even the like latest Halloween Kills, I'm like, well, there's Marion, you know, like, it doesn't
you
take
said
too
that
much.
Too.
Yeah. I'm just like, come on. So,
yeah, there's
so next Star time, cheese. Yeah, I'll be noodling on some thematic name the taglines.
Yeah, I'll put some together too.
We have some homework to do there.
We got some homework to do though, but they're fun. But yeah, and another show we'll do trailers that give everything away because it's just so many and taglines, of course.
Trailers used to have no limit too. There used to be like 6 minute trailers, and you know that.
Yeah.
Finally, MPAA I think or somewhere cut it down to 3 minutes. But I did see something about AMC getting. Are people getting upset that the movie like literally starts 40 minutes after that? Not only trailers, but commercials and this and that. And I see that a little bit less at Alamo. And I was trying to remember last time I went to an AMC theater, I was like, ooh. Yeah, I do remember. I was like, when I went to earlier, I used to, before Alamo existed here in Omaha, I would literally look down during commercials because they'd have car commercials and whatever. And I'm like, I'm not watching. Ugh. I was like, we paid, you know.
Right, we paid. That's a great point, Fallon.
Yeah.
I'm the customer. We paid. Like, that's it. Two trailers, maybe three. That's it.
Yeah. That's all we need. You know, please just, you know, because, you know, and sometimes you get these collective groans like, you know, trailer number six. You're like, ugh, you know, like.
It's too much.
We don't care, you know, but.
It's too much.
Yeah.
When we sold Napoleon, we sold it kind of an independent film house, like kind of an art theater. So, you know, they're trying to show as much as you can, but it exactly what you said, trailer six, you could just hear like, oh, it was a later show too. It was like a 9:10 or something. So it's a 3 hour movie. So we're like, it's going to be like 1 AM by the time we get out of here.
Yeah.
They just kept ramming them down your throat. And you're like, I can't. We paid.
And now we're kind of more used to that with, you know, like the Peacock. I'm like, and now your show will start in 2 minutes. I'm like, all right, you know.
All right.
I forgot I was going to share one of my Christmas gifts that I got. A very special book.
Oh, nice. There it is.
I have not started it, but they made Silent Night, Deadly Night into a novelization. That is so cool. It's almost 300 pages. So.
Wow. So what year is the copyright on there?
It's new. It's brand new. So
wow.
And it came with some author signatures and stuff like that as well. So
oh, that is so cool.
Thank you to my parents. So I will be doing that. Yeah. And then they also pre-ordered. I don't think it's out yet. They did something similar for Happy Birthday to Me. So
oh, nice. Giggity, giggity, go. Congratulations. Can I see the book again?
Yes.
There it is. That's a nice, really nice looking cover. Really nice.
Good job. And I think, let me look at the actual cover. Yeah. And they even have a nice.
Oh, wow.
Cover as
oh,
well.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
They have the protective and then the
hardbound book and the hardbound. Time. Yeah. So.
And you got me some books too.
Oh, yeah.
Got the Jaws and the Aliens. So thank you very much.
Jaws Revenge, so you can get all the little things that you missed in the 90-minute version.
Which I need. I have now have two Jaws the Revenge books from you. I love it.
You can learn more about Papa Jacques than you ever dreamed of.
Than you ever dreamed of. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. This month on Apple TV, Napoleon will be coming out, Robert. Will you be watching it with some popcorn?
Well, if I'm not washing my hair, I will certainly make time for that.
So good.
Can you do on Apple? Can you do that time and a half speed?
Oh, you don't understand. He is releasing. Ridley Scott did not listen to anybody about any of these reviews. It's a 4 hour cut. There's an extra hour of things in there.
No.
And the thing that hurt the movie the most was there was so much junk about Napoleon and Josephine that nobody wanted to see. And he's like, I wanted to add more of that in there. And we're like, oh. It's a disaster.
Why do you know? It's kind of
it hurts
when you said that. I'm like, are people like, are you joking? Because I remember, I always think about that April Fool's Day joke of Peter Jackson's 90-minute King Kong. I'm like, yeah.
He's
like, oh, that makes total sense. We don't need that bloated version. And then I'm like, no.
But that is funny.
It reminds me a little, you know, that documentary I just saw when you know if. George Lucas or somebody doesn't have a person being honest with him saying, hey, this doesn't seem right. They can just do what they now, granted, some directors, we should just let them be kind of, their, you know, kind of their auteurs and let them do what they kind of need to do. But at some point you're like, this is not going to work, or it's not going to work for the masses.
Yeah, right. At some point, just you need an arbitrator to say, like, hey, you know what? Let's cut this part out.
Yeah, let's cut this hour out. You need a, well, I guess Gail Ann Hurd is the one that pushed him to cut, or made the decision to cut the whole, I don't think the daughter thing, but I think she's the one saying, let's cut this whole, let's see the planet when it's before the aliens took over, you know, Newt and her family and finding the original alien and what it looked like before. So, and the thing is, like, you don't miss it. You don't.
Until
you kind of see the special edition. But and obviously they should have still kept.
I agree.
That, what is it, a 3-minute scene of
when they find the ship.
Ripley learning about her daughter, you know.
Because right.
That I get. That should have been kept the entire time. But yeah, I was like, no, we don't need, though we would all love a Weyland-Yutani big wheel.
Oh, I would love that. That little kid riding around.
Yeah. You know, somebody has that somewhere.
There should be a prequel about Weyland-Yutani, like
a
series.
It's not where we're getting.
Are we getting one?
We're getting some alien stuff, but which I feel like now they've
really,
there's an alien.
Oh yeah, you're right. There's another film.
There's another film, and I think an alien TV series is also coming. So I think they've kind of between Prometheus,
they're really beating that dead horse.
Yeah, it's just like nobody cares anymore. And then, and to me, Fox just totally up by not letting Neil. God, who was that? Had an idea that Sigourney Weaver was excited about. Michael Biehn come back. Carrie Hinn, I think, would even come back as a kind of an alternate universe where Alien 3 did not happen. And I'm like, yes,
okay,
this is what we do now, for better or for worse.
Right.
So you got Sigourney's interest, and then Fox said, or I think it was Ridley Scott saying, no, I don't want it to mess with my movie. Mm. And his movies are so fantastic. Right.
I mean, Alien is a classic, but he is not making those kind of movies anymore. I'm sorry.
No.
So, he's just not. I mean, Duel and Napoleon, like, you missed the mark.
Yeah.
Alien Romulus is what it is.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Yeah. One more thing about Ridley Scott is they don't make 3-hour war epics anymore. I wish they did because I love them. But like, he got the funding to do it. He could have ran with it and did something great. You have one of the best actors of all time. You know, the guy that played Joker is Napoleon.
Yeah.
You could have done something and we got nothing. And I'm like, he needs to just, he should have let that alien whole deal just fall into place. That would have been awesome having Sigourney Weaver come back if she was interested.
Yeah.
I mean, she's very selective. That would have been cool.
Well, I think why it doesn't work, some work and you know, some don't. Let's say Gladiator. That was an overlong film, but that actually had a person you wanted to, it had a heart to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll say the same thing for Titanic, which that 4K just came out. So I watched like the latter half, but I bought that for my sister. And it looks stunning in the new 4K. So I'm curious. I'm anxious to see the new Aliens and True Lies when it comes out in 4K in a couple months. But
Robert's not displeased.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring out the boots for the
out the boots. I almost bid on them the other day. They were on StockX, and the lowest bid was $300, but you know it was going to go up to like $1,500. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to get these.
Get your hopes up, but
no.
For better, I mean, at least that had some character. It had a heart to it.
And it had a heart to it.
And everything I've seen from Napoleon, I'm like, there's no. This is just be like seemed like a docuseries to me. Like I don't.
It was dead on arrival.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyway. And very weird. And not in an artistic way. Not in a liberative kind of. It was just very awkward.
Not in a Crispin Glover playing.
No.
Napoleon.
Would have been great.
Yeah, if we're gonna mess with it, let's just do it. Yeah.
Do it. Right. Real quick about Alien Romulus, it looks like it's coming out in the near future, but they're citing it as a prequel to Prometheus. Is that?
It takes place before every thing, so I'm not quite sure. And here's the weird thing, because I'm like, there's only so much you can do if it takes place in the same universe, which is supposed to be our universe.
yeah. Right.
if they've never had they found the aliens again before, twice now, you know?
Yeah.
And then it becomes it kind of sullies the original Alien. They're like, oh, they weren't the first to find it, you know, or humans to find it, I should say.
True.
All the stuff he's doing. I don't know. But probably it's like that they've milked the cow so much that it's
so much
beyond repair.
And the proposed idea that they shot down excluded Resurrection in 3 and just jump right with Carrie Henn from like years later after they left.
It took place in current time because I think they want to take advantage of that. Because he had done artwork and stuff, and Michael Biehn had kind of face scars, kind of a la Dr. Loomis and stuff like that when he was kind of. And so, so there's a lot of artwork out there that he had kind of commissioned to get people excited, and people were like, yeah, we can do this now. We don't mind that there's kind of a different pathway.
Yeah.
If Texas Chainsaw can do 16 part twos, right. We can certainly do the same for Aliens.
When's the next Texas Chainsaw movie coming out? I'm sure there is one.
The last one hit so badly, I can't imagine.
The one with on the bus?
Yeah.
With the bus scene, I mean.
Let's go to this old town where all the Gen Xers will come from who knows how many hours away. let's live here.
It looks so fake.
We'll shoot videos.
We'll shoot videos.
Getting the original chainsaw out of the wall and it still starts.
There's not even
a double pull. No,
The gas didn't wear out, it's just no rust, it's fine. Last show, I'm not gonna play it, but I did find the original Robin Hood Bryan Adams Prince of Thieves Everything I Do video.
And did FBI show up at your house or anything? Or
Kevin Costner sent a cease and desist. But you know, somebody commented on our show and said it was a copyright claim that Bryan Adams did when he signed with new management. So okay. I don't know if that's true or not, but I guess that's why it disappeared. All signs point to copyright. I thought when you did a soundtrack in the movie, that's it. It's there for life, like The Bodyguard.
It is not quite because that's why sometimes we get re-releases on DVDs or Alias showing, they can't use some of the same music. And so it gets very tricky. So I guess I'm not surprised, but when it's the key song, it is usually attached for life.
Because it was a number one hit that music video before the movie came out. It came out like 16 weeks before the movie, you know, to generate buzz. And it was number one before the movie even came out. So it was out there, you know.
Now you're gonna go see him, correct?
Yeah, a few weeks.
Okay.
So maybe they'll
show up. Maybe he'll have it on the back screen. Maybe that'll he's like, I've been saving this for just the tours.
Just the tours. Everything I Do. He does two versions of that after the song. Well, he does. I mean,
he does it twice in one show.
He probably will because he released the same song within an extra 2 minutes. Oh. And it's right where he goes, you know, I do it for you. The song ends. It's a perfect ending. But just to keep like it going, you hear the piano kick back in. And there's an extra 2 minute instrumental. And you're like, Brian, you don't need to do that. The song's already 4 minutes long. He has a 6 minute version because, you know, we need more.
Yeah. People don't love it that much, you know.
No. Anyway. We found it. And that brings us to Blind Man's Bluff from setjetter.com.
All right.
Random generated, Robert. You ready?
Is it random? Bring it
on. It is random.
Okay.
It's very random. Here's the description. Okay. Even during the early beginnings of horror films, comedic incarnations soon emerged. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is often cited as the first successful combination of the two genres. As horror goes through its natural ebb and flow, the spoofs and satires typically follow at the tail end of each cycle. This movie was released on July 7th, 2000. On the heels of the slasher resurgence.
Scary movie.
Yes, sir.
All right. I was about to say Student Bodies, but then once you said the date, I'm like, this is a next gen spoof.
scary movie. I remember seeing this theatrically. Were you a theatrical?
Yes, of course.
Fun, right?
Yeah. Because it was, you know, it was the right time. You know, it wasn't taking too serious. Oh, there's the bane of my existence, that high school.
Wait, explain why.
Well, just a little over a year ago. The high school was in Victoria.
Yeah.
So it's an island, you know, and so I had not been to this location. I've been to Victoria, British Columbia before, You're taking the ferry over, but I've not been to this location. So last year I was with my family and whatever, and we're like going to, and as I'm going, you kind of approach from the back of the school and I see all this scaffolding and I'm like, oh, please, oh, please. And like everything was completely covered up in kind of almost like blue tarp and scaffold, you know, so I haven't even updated this page because it was so embarrassing. And the reason I was upset too is because they have all these great parking lot scenes completely gone. The parking lot's completely gone. The fountain that they're sitting on, I mean, everything is gone.
The fountain's gone?
Yeah, everything is. It was like all dirt.
Why are they messing with it?
I don't know. Darn them and their school bonds. But anyway, so.
Oh, no. We'll skip right past this then.
But yeah, so anyway, but that's in Victoria. And so. This spot, I'll be probably revisiting because, Richmond, British Columbia is kind of where they have some of the, boardwalk scenes from The Stand.
Yeah.
So, but this is where they get rid of the body.
Right. I spoof of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yep. Right at the Steve.
This is in The Stand, right?
Yep. So this is in Stand 2.0. So this actual block, that they stand on. I love Sherry O'Terry. She was the perfect.
She is perfect.
Gail.
And she was at like the perfect time where she was like off SNL doing Weekend Update. And she was, you just wanted so much of her.
Yeah. So, so that's true, movie true theater. Dream. Shakespeare in love.
Shakespeare in love.
I just had to call that. I even called that out because I like, she goes, y'all, for all your talkers up in here. And now it's even
You talk is up. You actually got to go in there. Did you like see a movie?
No. So this isn't actually, but this, I just put a picture.
Oh, I gotcha.
It is one of my favorite scenes. So it's not a movie theater at all. It's shops and stuff.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know me, I'm a completist. So there's Officer Doofy when he kind of does the big change and.
Oh, it's great.
Trying to think about they kind of what do you wear? If I had a drone, I would have kind of pulled up a little bit, but I do not. So, but this is where he drops the mask, and
this is all in the same Richmond.
Yeah, that's all in Richmond. Yeah, so this is all within a couple blocks of each other. So,
and I believe several scenes from the Bates Motel series were shot here.
That is correct. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's favorite line is we hit a boot.
We hit a boot. That is one. Do you use that ever? Does that ever come up?
I do say that a lot. And actually, that's what I had her sign when I met Shannon.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you can see
it. Oh, there it is. There it is. To Robert, we hit a boot. Shannon Elizabeth. Where was the signing, sir?
Probably at Horror Hound somewhere or Texas Frightmare or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, so she was super nice. She looks about the same 20 years later. Yeah.
She does so much, too, for rhinos to raise awareness for, you know, anti-poaching and everything.
Nice.
She's a good soul.
Yep. So
I don't know her obviously, but I follow her and she's good. Yep. Here he is.
Lock them in
you
a
guys
row,
need
yeah.
some assistance.
Is he from Freddy Canada? Is that why he gets these Canadian roles? You know,
that's a good question.
They fulfill the Canadian quota. They might.
Yeah. I love him in Night at the Roxbury as their trainer. He's like, but I hate to be ragging on you, but it's kind of my job. You guys aren't really working out. And he's just very like,
he's still pretty funny.
It is great. And folks, if you're not watching and you're listening, this is on setjetter.com. These are the stills from Robert's website, The Scary Movie. You can also do set visits by Nate. And you get really lost in here, Robert. And I wish we could do one of these shows every day because there's so many gems in here.
Just do them all.
I'm gonna start logging what we've done. I kind of know by memory, but we should in our lives, we should go through everyone.
We should go through everyone. Make sure they're correct as people like to
give me
crap for it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because they're doing all the work.
You forgot Fanny's house.
Why don't you do Fanny's house? I don't know, because he's done every other one and we're doing a pandemic.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it?
I'm trying, people.
What the hell is Inside Monkey Zetterlund?
Oh my gosh, you have not seen that?
I've never even heard of it.
Oh my, 1992 film. So this is, I was big in independent films. So Sandra Bernhard is in this.
I like her.
Yeah. So it has quite a great cast. And nobody had done these locations, and you can tell just by the size of the screen, it's not on widescreen still. You know, right. These are kind of the 4x3, you know, so it kind of makes it for
is
wonky
this, comparisons. Jason Bateman?
No.
Okay. No, he'd be too young.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cantor's Deli, of course, makes a little appearance. It has a great, it's kind of a good, let's say love letter to LA, but it's, you know, a lot of great LA locations.
Inside Monkey Zetterlund. Yeah. Monkey. Oh, yeah.
So Steve Anton is his name. So he was in Last
American. Oh, right.
So, Patricia Arquette's in this, Tate Donovan, Sofia Coppola, Rupert Everett.
Oh, wow.
Ricky Lake is in it. So you recognize the Pan Pacific
Park. Oh, yes. Xanadu.
Yep. Where they had some locations.
You updated this page in 2020. Were these photos from around that time? Or that
No. They were way old. Yeah, because I did that these years ago. And then if you've not been to the Traveltown Museum to see the trains,
awesome.
They sat there. So
really fun.
So some of those are kind of, I would say, incidental that I happen to have a picture of the train.
No, it's incidental. He covets. Yeah. He covets. Oh, these are so cool.
Yeah, so
Inside Monkey Zetterlund. It's an independent comedy?
Yes.
What an interesting name. And you did this. This is so cool.
It is. Debbie Mazar is in it. Martha Plimpton is in it.
Debbie Mazar.
Yeah. So I don't know why I didn't put a picture of her. So since I met her. But yeah, I think it still holds up pretty well. So it's kind of one of those quirky independent film.
So interesting. Great job on that.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, I forgot to bring this up, but remember I mentioned I went to see Michael Jackson's grave.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to both Hollywood, not Hollywood Forever, Forest Lawns.
Yep.
Have you ever been to the one, not the Glendale one, but the one by Burbank, the Hollywood Hills?
Yes.
Do you know that big building in the back? It has like an auditorium in there.
The one that's kind of built into the hill?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It has the big mural of the founding fathers.
Yep.
What is that? Because when you go inside, there's a Liberty Bell replica.
Okay.
And Declaration of Independence. It's like it looks like it belongs in Philadelphia. It was the weirdest thing. My parents and I were trying to figure out like what the hell was happening. But you would know, right?
I've never actually been inside that spot. So if there's nothing filmed there or famous there, why would I?
Why would I?
Exist?
Nobody in there.
I
said to my mom, like, I could come back here and film a sketch. We had the run of the place. There was George the III paintings
cameras
in there. I posed with. There was nobody in there for like, I mean, we spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody go in there. It's wide open.
Well,
there's
time,
a podium though. It's clearly used for some kind of event. But
I wonder if they have the different wakes there and stuff like that. So I don't know. Well, maybe next time we'll have to.
Let's do a trip up there.
Yeah, because sometimes that's nice. Because sometimes I do that on my way to the airport, you know, to kind of kill time or something like that. But so I don't.
You try to just kind of walk around there.
I don't go too far from Burbank Airport in case there's a traffic issue. But
that's where they flew out of. That's why we were like in that area.
Yeah.
Driving around.
You just kind of hang around, do some Burbank stuff so you don't.
Yeah, you don't get late. There was traffic too. Like there wasn't. And then we went to kill time. And then there was all of a sudden.
What happens.
Of course.
You just never know. So
you do never know.
Now you got me curious if they're going to ever release Inside Monkey Zetterlund on Blu-ray. Probably not.
Let's find out. I feel like this looks like an interesting movie. That's a great cast too. Sofia Coppola.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert Everett's in it. Ricky Lake's in it.
Yes.
Debbie Mazar, I love. Tate Donovan, I know him. Steve Anton. And this was independent, so it didn't make anything. It was art house. I like that. That is cool.
I purchased the DVD in 2014. So
did you really?
Yeah. I do have the Laserdisc still, though, as well. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But you can buy the DVD for $3.46 if you're interested.
Perfect. Are you going to watch the entirety of the Beverly Hill Cops that you got, or just the third?
The entirety.
Because we're otherwise, for the fourth one, right?
You just need to kind of get ready, you know, for the third, yeah. Because you're like, hey, now I've got my cruise. February 20th, that is coming out, so.
Okay.
We'll have to keep a lookout for that.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have to keep.
I didn't see the original in the theaters, but I did see two in the theater, so.
Some say two is better than one. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't watched them in a long time, so
yeah.
I can't imagine anything holding my attention more than three at this point. But no.
I mean, Judge Reinhold is the star of that. His one-liners are just throwaway gems.
But I'll be curious because the original was kind of not fluke, but you know they know what they're doing. But it was even bigger hit than they thought it was going to be. And same thing, two became kind of the stylized version. And I really remember that was people complain about the MTV, you know, super cutting or whatever.
What's that? The MTV cuts?
Yeah, where it's too flashy, you know, and so forth.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, and I was like, okay, I see what they're talking about. Because it's one thing when you're watching it on television, when you have a big screen and they're doing half second flash cuts and stuff like that, I was like, okay, this is too much for me. So
I agree. Yeah, no, I'm totally on board.
Directed by Tony Scott.
Tony Scott.
Right. Ridley Scott's late brother.
Late great Tony Scott. He also did Spy Game, which I love.
He did some good ones.
He did. Top Gun, Robert's favorite.
It's a movie.
You can fold some laundry to it. Well, that'll be your show tonight, Robert, unless you had anything else, sir.
No, I don't think that's it.
It was great to see you again. Happy New
Year. Likewise. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. And our new sign-off line for 2024 is, see you at the movies. That's not original. So we will see you on the set. Thank you for listening to Set Jetter Saturdays. Godspeed.
Mountain, mountain, it's good to see your face. Mighty wander high above the plains. Mountain, mountain, could I take your place? River, river, take me away. Wash me clean, keep my sins at bay. River, river, take me away. Canyon perfume blowing in the wind. Time ain't a thing here, luck is my best friend. Carrying with me everything I own and who I am. Pray to God I see your face again. Pray to God I see your face again. Sky, celestial angels, teach me how to fly. Stars are burning. Won't you take me on high? Take me on high. Got me feeling right.